If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're so glad that you're here. If you're visiting today, welcome. We hope and pray that you felt at home. We have a tagline, a church that feels like home, and we hope and pray that that's not just a tagline, but that's how you have felt as you've been here this morning, that you felt comfortable. We often say that this is the perfect place for imperfect people to follow after and grow in the knowledge of a perfect God. That regardless of your past or even your present right now, God's not afraid or scared of your failure. He loves you right where you're at. And he calls you forward. He calls you back home. He desires to fill you. We talked a lot today about the filling and the power and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's foreign to you. My prayer is that the Lord would reveal his heart to you as we continue to look at his word and as we're in his presence. And I believe that God has a timely message for us today. I had a plan to begin a series entitled Happily Ever After, and looking at relationships and marriage and family. But I really believe that God has kind of shifted that, and I will always be one who would rather shift with God and His Spirit than to hold steady on man or my plans. So this morning it is a shift, and those of you who are worried already, what does this shift mean? Does it mean longer time? I'm going to try and break this up and make it kind of two parts. That way it's a little bit more maybe edible and can get into our hearts a little bit more. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, God's really kind of brought me to this place. And because I really believe he wants us to begin to be real with him. We live in a culture, a makeup culture, don't we? If we have a flaw or something that might not be that presentable, we cover it up. We cover it up almost to the point that we believe that we've hidden that flaw from those around us. We've hidden it. And from a distance, maybe some cover-up makeup can make and do wonders. And let me just say this. So I'm not against makeup. I think it's great. But I'm going to get into it. Not for me, Eric. Not for me, it's not great. But, I mean, for people who would like that. Yeah, okay. I saw you look at me a little, what? I'm not against it, but what I am trying to say is this. As you get closer, even those things that have been covered up are still kind of visible. And the truth is this, that there is nothing that we can try to hide or cover up that's hidden from God. He sees all things. We do our best to try to make those around us feel like things are okay with us, as if that were the goal. As long as this person over here or these over here think everything's fine, then you know what? I'm in good standing. Everything's good with me. But the truth is, on the inside, we could really be crumbling, going through it. And I don't know about you, but life is difficult. Okay, a couple of us understand life is difficult. Life is not easy, and I just believe that God's word for us is not just for us to gain more understanding, but for us to be transformed. So that it wouldn't be us acquiring more knowledge, but it would be acquiring more insight to know how we can live a life of obedience so that we can endure the things of life rather than suffer the things of life. And this morning I'm excited because I'm going to kind of, my wife didn't even know that I kind of shifted this. And as she prayed, she said, I pray that hope would arise. And my message title today is Hope Rising. And I really believe this, that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing today, no matter what situation you find yourself in, there is hope. And my prayer is that it would arise within you. That although life can be difficult, we serve a God who's greater. That although circumstances can be tough, we serve a God who when things seem impossible, He makes a way. And today we just believe that. And I'm excited to kind of look at this together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. It says this: "For what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who were alive are also being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to Himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Let's pray. Father, today we thank you for your word. Father, we pray that in this place, that in our hearts will be open. God, we don't just declare in a song, but God, we truly are hanging on. We need to hear your voice today. Lord, not words by a man or by anyone else, but God, the Spirit of God speaking to our hearts, calling us, drawing us, encouraging, strengthening us. Lord, I pray that your infilling of the Holy Spirit, that which continually desires to be poured out on us, would be poured out fresh and anew today. Lord, that we would desire you above all things. And we thank you for what you're going to do in this place. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Noah, you could put up that slide, that, there we go, hope rising. And I really believe that God is doing something in, right now, and is going to continue to do something here as we continue to seek Him. As a parent, there have been many times in life that have been moments of just joy and pride and good, and then there have been other moments. Moments of, you know what I mean. So there have been other moments. I can recall every one of the four of our kids at one point getting into something that they shouldn't have gotten into. Let's say candy or a dessert. And they usually don't just get right into it. Usually what happens is they grab it, take it behind a couch, into a closet, behind the curtains, and they partake. And it's incredible when you walk in and you walk into the room and you know that they've probably gotten into something, and you encounter them and find them, the look that they give you is priceless. Like, oh, I wasn't supposed to? Yet they felt it necessary. I never have taught them, you know what, when you take something you shouldn't, go and hide. I've never taught them that. It is a natural response when you're doing something you know you shouldn't be doing to go and hide immediately. And when I see them, it's like we have one who I won't name, but we have one who always blames things on his brother. I mean, everything. It's not me, Daddy. It's baby guy. And it's like, I see you with chocolate, you know, all over yourself. No, not me. It was baby guy. No, I see you. That even in his being caught, sometimes it's like, no, it's not me. This natural inclination that we have to hide, I believe, is not one that is just for infants and young children, but even for us as we age and get older. That when we know that there are things in life that maybe are not desiring or desirable to the Lord, yet we still engage, or yet we still partake in, it's like, well, I can just put on this facade, this front, but the real me is really dying. The real me is really hurting. And I believe that even in the moments of being found, I never look at my kids and think, okay, now I just want to punish you. But it's like, oh, why? Why didn't you ask? Sometimes they do ask, and we say, no, not now. Because we know what a sugar high does at bedtime, right? I mean, that's not good for our house. So it's always usually wanting to protect rather than to keep from something. And in the same way, I believe that's what we see, what God does for us. But life can be very difficult. And I believe that in the difficulties of life, maybe even in the failures or the shortcomings of life, it's easier to hide than to be vulnerable. Even today, it'll be easier to hide and say, you know what, for me, everything is going great. Well, I want what you got, because not everything is always great for me. Because life is not great here. I can't wait for the day that we stand before Him in paradise, in the place He's created for us. I cannot wait, but until then, I know that we will face things of life. And although life may not always be easy, I believe that God has called us to endure. And my hope today is that we would all be a little bit more vulnerable, or be willing to just be honest and real before God. And maybe not confess before one another, but definitely confess before Him. God, this is where I'm at. You know, if you're hurting today, He's not surprised. You may be able to hide it from one another, but He's not surprised. If you're in need today, He knows, and He desires for us to run to Him, to place our trust, our faith in Him and in Him alone. I believe this, that whatever comes our way in life, that we have hope. And it's not in your ability, but it's in God's Spirit that would fill and move within us. Our hope is not in what we can do. I pray that with everything in me, your hope is never in me. I don't mind that when I fail you, you're not disappointed. That's okay. You can be disappointed. But my intent is never to disappoint you. See, the problem is we idolize, right? And when we idolize, we always put ourselves in a bad place. For our God is a jealous God. And when we idolize a minister or a person, we begin to place them above God. And then when they fail, because it's inevitable, we just aren't perfect. I have moments at my house that I'm glad I'm in my house. Oh, just me. Okay. There are moments with my kids that I think, oh boy, if somebody would have seen me and how I acted and how that went. Okay, a couple of us know what that's like, right? The truth is we all will come to a place where it's like, man, I missed it on that. And right there, I messed that up. We are living a fantasy if we think that everyone who would be in leadership is just a perfect person. We're living a fantasy if we look around and think to ourselves, man, look at them. I bet their life is just great. We're living a fantasy. Every single one of us is dealing with something. Paul talks to the church at Corinth and he addresses kind of four realities of life that I want to begin to address here this morning and then finish next week. Four realities of life that Paul addresses. And not just addresses by saying this is a reality, but then gives hope to that reality. The first reality of life, and I believe it's seen in verse 8. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. First reality of life is that we will face pressure. But our hope is that although pressure may come, we will not be crushed. This is a reality of life. If I declare or when I say or talk about the pressures of life, do you know what I mean? Pressure to provide, pressure to pay bills, pressure to protect your family, pressure to protect your relationships. Pressure to raise children, pressure to do in different aspects of life. Do you understand what I mean when I say we all face pressure? I tell you what, I really believe that this is something for us all to see, that I want you to know you're not alone in the pressure of life. Sometimes it feels that way. Nobody understands what I am going through. Your situation may be unique, but every one of us understands and experiences the pressure of life. Maybe in a different aspect, maybe in a different way, but all of us know what that pressure of life feels like. The pressures of life when you purchase something and yet then you think, okay, now how are we going to pay for this stuff? Know that pressure. The pressures of life when it's like, you know what, I've been doing my best to raise our kids, but then we see this, and how is this going to be? Look at the world around us. How am I going to protect? How am I going to oversee? How am I going to help? The pressures of life can be daunting. How is this going to get paid? How is this going to come through? And the truth is this, I really believe that although we all face pressure, God's promise to us is that we will not be crushed. Valuable things are created by pressure. Valuable things are created by pressure. And can I say this to you, that in the same way, we are also being transformed and polished and cut into a valuable thing. For we have this treasure in jars of clay, this treasure of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that would fill us. So that when we encounter pressure, that which is in us is greater than that which would be against us. So we can stand, that the pressure will still feel it, but we won't be crushed. That we can still stand. Pressing will come. But in fact, pressure can actually make you stronger. Not just make you more valuable. It can make you stronger. It can fortify. Romans 5 says this, Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Now we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Can we acknowledge that perseverance is a fruit of the Spirit? It's the fruit nobody wants to bear, because it's produced through suffering. Well, I'll take a different fruit. Give me the apple. Right? That's how we, right? But it's the fruit. It is completely. It's not separate. The fruit of the Spirit is all encompassing. Not love over here, joy over here, perseverance. No, it is all encompassing. That God's Spirit produces in us through our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Why do we have a character list? Well, maybe we have too many characters, but we have not enough godly character within the church, because we really don't want to go through suffering. When suffering comes, we run. When things get difficult, we stop going. When things get difficult, when things get hard, we just give up. Yet it says this, that perseverance must happen. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. God's hope today, and even as we've talked about hiding, it's not about shame. It's about pouring out His Spirit in you and producing hope. That in life there will be a pressing. And maybe today you know what that means. You've been feeling that pressing on every side. Can I tell you today that when the pressing comes to focus, not just on the pressure, but focus on the promises of God. That He is filled, that He is within, that greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. That there's nothing that will come our way that He will not be able to see us through. Kids have a book, and we were just reading it the other night. And it's this, like, repetition, right? You say the same thing over and over again, but the pictures change and the situation changes. And it talked about going after a bear, right? The family wanted to go find a bear. And anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you know this story, all right? So as they go, they come to a field, and they want to go around the field. They want to go under, but they can't, so they go through, right? And all this continually until they see the bear, they get freaked out and they run back home. And they say, we won't be going. We don't want to see any more bears. Basically, is this the gist of the book. I know for those who know it, it's not exactly, but it's somewhere in there. See, the truth is we want the end around. We don't necessarily always want to go up the middle because, man, there's pressure. There's hardship that can be there. But the truth is, God can get us through. So my challenge for us is, when we face pressure, to focus on God's promises. Maybe you feel like you're being pressed on every side today. Now, the hope is not your ability. The hope is the Spirit of God in you. The hope is not your character, it's God's. The hope is not your thing, it's His. First reality of life is, we will all encounter and face pressure. But in the face of pressure, we can focus on the promise of God, which will help us get through the suffering, which will develop perseverance. Perseverance, the character, and we'll be able to receive and walk in the hope of God. The second reality of life that we all face is this, and it's times of confusion. Or, second, to be perplexed. Yet our hope is that although we may be perplexed, we will not despair. This, you can put that next one. Do you have my slides, I think? It's okay. I'll just keep talking. Perplexed means confusion or not knowing what to do or where to turn. Have you been there? If you have children, you've definitely been there. Boy, if you live life, you've been there. What next? What to do? Where to turn? What decision to make? How should this look? What should this be like? Have you ever felt just absolutely lost or uncertain of what to do? Boy, I've been there. Every one of us have been there. Why? Because it's a reality of life. There will be times when you will be perplexed, uncertain, confused. And this is where we will either get the anxiety in our life will rise or the trust and faith in our life will rise. It's really where we're at. It's this middle, it's this tipping point. When we face confusion of life, either we become more worried and anxious, or we will lean into God and trust Him. Some of the most difficult moments of our life, we had a choice. We can just worry, be anxious, or we could trust God. Can I just tell you that there's such a freedom that comes with trusting God? There's such a freedom that comes with trusting God that even though you're in the midst of a situation or an issue that you may think, I don't know what is going on. I don't want to hear somebody tell me that God has this for my good. Although He can work all things together for those who love Him, called according to His purpose. I don't want to hear that this is how I should respond. I'm in this time and I don't get it. And that's when we can either worry more or trust more. That's when we can either lean into Him more to a greater degree or begin to worry about everything and every situation. And that's when we lean that way, fear will cripple you. Fear will cripple you. Because you will second guess every choice, every decision. Well, I should have did this. And I'm sure that you've never had in a relationship somebody say to you, well, you know, you chose that. You should have did. Nobody? Just a couple. Right? We can either trust the Lord. Hey, I prayed about it. I really felt like this is what God had. Why didn't we take that position in St. Croix? Sometimes I don't know why. Okay. It is, we prayed about it, and we didn't feel like that was the direction God wanted us to. And we could either live in that contention or that you know what, I could be swimming with dolphins on my way to work every morning, you know? But the truth is right now, the dolphins might be on or in the place I work today because of all the craziness. You know, it's one of those things that you can either trust or worry. And confusion will always bring you to those two options. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure what. I can either trust or I can worry. In life, every single one of us have been or will be or have been and will be in a place of confusion, not being certain of what to do or where to go. Perplexed, yet not despair. The truth is that even in uncertain times, we can have hope. We can have hope. Hope is not just when things are always going good. Hope is present when things are not looking good. Hope is believing, is standing, right? We see that in faith. What is faith? We see in Hebrews 11, what is faith? Faith is a confidence in hope. It's an assurance in what we do not see. Faith, a life of faith, will always have a major element of trust. Trusting in God. If you can't trust God, you'll never walk by faith. You'll never walk by faith. If you need God to answer you on every situation of your life, you'll never walk by faith. Now, you can ask, but then you should be able to be okay with whatever is said or not said. That if we can't walk by faith and trust, then our belief is merely words. There will be times in life where you will be uncertain on what to do, where to go. And I've said this before, that it's during those times when you cannot see the hand of God, that's when you must trust the heart of God. That our God, the great thing about our God is He is faithful, constant, and He remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's good to know that we serve a God who's fairly predictable. Because we can put our trust in, knowing that He has been, He promises that He will be, and He is. A life of faith doesn't hide from confusing issues, but it hopes that even when we face confusion, we can focus on the constant nature of God. We see this incredible example of honesty and yet hope in David in Psalms 13. David says this, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer me. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall." Boy, this is encouraging. But this is honest. I've been here. I know what David's talking about. God, why is this happening? Why did this happen? How long will you forget me? Why have you hidden your face from me? Why has this been happening? Yet in this time of honesty, look at what David says next. But I trust in your unfailing love. Well, that didn't sound very trustful, trustworthy, trusting. Sounded like he was a little discouraged. Sounded like he was kind of upset. Yeah, I think you can be honest and yet also hold on to hope. Hope doesn't mean you can't be honest. He says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing of the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I don't know what you're facing today, what situation you may be in. But I can tell you this, that Paul's encouragement in God's word to us says that in life we will go through confusing times, but yet we don't have to lose hope. That confusion can come, but we might be perplexed, but not despair. Despair being a void of hope, we have no hope. We have hope. Even in the midst of the confusion, we have hope. And I think we can be honest yet hopeful, just as David was. God, I don't understand why this is happening. I feel like you have just turned your face from me, but yet I will trust in your unfailing love. Yet I will trust in your unfailing love. Even in the void of it, I will sing praises, for he has been good to me. We sing that song, or we used to sing that song, "Blessed be your name." And a little hooker tagline on the bridge was, you give and take away. You give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. It's not just a lyric that we come up with. It's from God's word. And the truth is this, that we've all, blessing upon blessing, we can't truly fathom it, because we usually judge our blessings based on others, right? We look to somebody else and say, well, look at what they have. Boy, I'm not blessed. But I'll tell you, I was in Armenia and I thought, boy, we are blessed. I was in a culture and a nation where they don't have clothes for every day. They don't have nice things. But even in spite, there's hope. And can I say more even sometimes than what I see here? Because their hope is not in the things of this world. When you have nothing to lose, you have everything to gain. But when you think you have something to lose, it's not that you have something valuable really to lose, but it's your thought of it. And because you think you have something to lose, you will fight, you will worry, you will question. And often it will bring you to a place of a lack of trust. My heart for us, my hope for us, is that we could be honest, not be hiding. Because although we may be covering it up from one another, we're not covering it up from Him. He sees you. And not only does He see you, He sees every aspect. He doesn't just know your physical nature, He knows your thoughts. That's scary. But the best news is that even though He knows you and knows the thoughts, He loves you. And He wants to provide for you real freedom that comes through openness and honesty. Real victory in life, real life that He has planned for us, that comes through our ability to put our trust and faith, our hope in Him, and Him alone. Terry, would you come? We will all face times where we're unsure, uncertain about what to do next or where to go or how to respond. But I want to encourage everyone that in these times of confusion, that's when we focus on the constant nature of God. His word reveals to us that His love endures, that He remains. And there are so many promises that God gives us. What Pastor Eric said earlier was so right on. Know His word. When you know His word, you'll stand against the attack of the enemy. See, a lot of us are biblically illiterate, which means we've heard some things and we've taken what we wanted or what we liked and we've used that. I've heard people say things that are so unbiblical, yet they heard somebody say a portion of them before and they grab it. And I think to myself, boy, there's such power in knowing and understanding the Word of God. The promises of God that we can stand on. Used to be a song, Standing on the Promises of God. Few people remember. We'll never know His promises until we seek them. His promise to never leave or forsake us. That even though we may be feeling like we're in a season or a time of uncertainty, or being unsure, or feeling pressed from every side, we can put our trust and our faith in Him alone. Because He's the only one who sustains all things. It's amazing to me what we place our trust in. People and things that really have no deserving of our trust. In businesses, manufacturing, different things, we place our trust. Yet in the God who created all things, we think, no, I'm not sure if He has my best interest at mind. I'm not sure That's where faith comes in. A confidence in hope. An assurance in things that we do not see. See, the truth is there are facts of life that every single one of us will face. We will face pressure of life. We will face confusion in life. But here's the good news, that our God is with us and He's for us. He's not against us. I don't believe that God would lead us into a place of just confusion to just be there and to rotate and spin around. I believe in a God who is a God of clarity, not confusion. Yet, there will be times when that step of faith is taken and we're not quite sure. That's why it's called faith. I used to do these faith falls often at youth camps. It's like a thing to do, put somebody real high and tell them to turn around and fall off. Don't worry, we're going to catch you. And I can remember looking back and thinking, that person ain't catching me. Some young girl, probably 80 pounds soaking wet, and there ain't no way she's catching me. But there's incredible strength when you join with people. She probably couldn't catch me alone. I mean, she might catch me. It'd probably hurt her a lot more than me, but when you join with people, you can endure more. See, some of us have really been enduring a lot because we've really been enduring it on our own. Afraid of maybe what somebody might think. Fearful. Fearful of what may be. If we were honest. So we've been enduring on our own. Now, God is enough. He is enough. But He's called us to join with one another. To be, just like that faithful, strength for one another. It's something maybe we couldn't handle on our own, but when we come together as a community of faith, asking God to move in and through each and every one of us, there's strength there because of His Spirit, because of what He's called us to. My prayer for us today is that we would stop hiding, begin to walk in honesty, yet be full of hope, because hope can rise. No matter what your circumstance or situation is today, I believe that God can move in and through and desires to bring you through. Perseverance comes through suffering. Character comes through the persevering of suffering. And hope comes through the character that's produced through the persevering of suffering. That no matter what you're facing today, that God is good and His love for you is great. In my prayer for each and every one of us, we're going to celebrate today. Remember what Jesus did for us. It's because He has done this that we can face anything. And we think there is nothing that is too great for our God. It would be pretty incredible today, and I've heard of different stories of people being prayed for and people who were once dead coming back to life. But death could not hold or contain. The power of the grave had no power over God. And we celebrate today a Savior who came and loved us so much that He didn't leave us out on our own. But He came and gave Himself so that by His sacrifice, we could be covered. And through that covering, then be filled with His Spirit. And today we celebrate that. Would you stand with me this morning?